Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Rabbi Ram Goldar and today we're Maseches Gittin Daf Nun Gimel, the fifth parak Hanizakin. The Zichu Maseches Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichu Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three times we're going to focus on, number one, the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis taught that if one damages another's property in a way that's physically unrecognizable, he only pays if he did so deliberately. Chizki explains, Dvar Torah Echad Shogeg VeEchad Mezid Chayev. Biblically speaking, whether such damage was done unintentionally or intentionally is chai, because hezek sheino nikra shmei hezek. Damage which is unrecognizable is considered true damage. The Rabbanan exempted an unintentional damager, kidei sheyodio, so that he'll inform the owner that his food is prohibited. If it would be chai, if he may hesitate to inform the owner, causing him to eat prohibited food. One who damaged deliberately, however, will certainly inform the owner, even if he must pay, because his entire purpose is to harm him, which is only effective if he informs him. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Dvar Torah echad shogeg v'echad mezid patur. Biblically speaking, whether such damage was done unintentionally or intentionally, he's patur because hezek sheino nikra lo shmei hezek, unrecognizable damage, is not considered genuine damage. The Rabban penalized one who intentionally damages way, so that everyone should not go and be metame his friend's tahor foods, v'omer patur ani, and say, I'm patur. Point number two, Rav Papa challenged Chizkiya from a Mishnah. Gazel matbeah v'nipsa, one who stole a coin and it was disqualified for use by the government. Truma v'nitmes, or he stole truma and it became tame and prohibited for consumption. Chametz v'avro lava pesach, or he stole chametz and pesach passed. Omer lohar shelcha l'fanocha, the thief may return the item and say, what is yours is before you and returned, and it's not chayv for its loss in value. Rav Papa argues that if unrecognizable damage is classified as damage, as Chizki asserts, then since this man stole the goods, thereby assuming responsibility for them, and he now returned them in a state which is considered damage, Mamona Ma'alya Boy Shalume, he should pay fully for the stolen item, which he did not return as it was, yet the Mishnah says that he is not chai for its loss in value. The Gemara concludes, Tiyufta, this is indeed a refutation of Chizki's opinion. And point number three, a Bryce is quoted in which Reb Meir says that one is chai for unrecognizable damages, even when done unintentionally, and Reb Yehuda says, like our Mishnah, that he's only chai for intentional damages. The Gemara explains that although they both agree that hezek sheino nikra lo shmei hezek, it's not considered damage, and deliberate damage is chai by rabbinic decree, Reb Meir holds, kansu shogeg atu mezid, they penalize unintentional acts because of intentional acts, meaning so people cannot intentionally damage and avoid liability by claiming it was unintentional. And Reb Yehuda holds they did not. Gemara asks that this diametrically opposes their machlokas regarding one who cooks on Shabbos, where Reb Meir says, "B'shogeg yochel, if he did so unintentionally, he may eat the food, even on Shabbos, but mezid lo yochel, if it was intentional, he may not eat it." Reb Yehuda says that for shogeg, he cannot eat it until after Shabbos as a penalty because of mezid, and for mezid, he may never eat it. We see that Reb Meir did not penalize shogeg because of mezid, and Reb Yehuda did. The Gemara differentiates between biblical transgressions, cooking on Shabbos, and rabbinic transgressions, unrecognizable damages. Reb Meir holds they only penalize shogeg by rabbinic transgressions because people tend to take them lightly. Reb Yehuda holds they only penalize shogeg by biblical transgressions because they're more severe. Manasseh is an exception according to each opinion. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis taught that if one damages another's property in a way that is physically unrecognizable, he only pays if he did so deliberately. Chizki explains, Dvar Torah Echad Shogeg VeEchad Mezid Chayev. Biblically speaking, whether such damage was done unintentionally or intentionally is chai, because hezek sheino nikra shmei hezek. Damage which is unrecognizable is considered true damage. The Rabbanan exempted an unintentional damager, kidei sheyodio, so that he'll inform the owner that his food is prohibited. If it would be chai, if he may hesitate to inform the owner, causing him to eat prohibited food. One who damaged deliberately, however, will certainly inform the owner, even if he must pay, because his entire purpose is to harm him, which is only effective if he informs him. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Dvar Torah echad shogeg v'echad mezid patur. Biblically speaking, whether such damage was done unintentionally or intentionally, he's patur because hezek sheino nikra lo shmei hezek, unrecognizable damage, is not considered genuine damage. The Rabban penalized one who intentionally damages way, so that everyone should not go and be metame his friend's tahor foods, v'omer patur ani, and say, I'm patur. Point number two, Rav Papa challenged Chizkiya from a Mishnah. Gazel matbeah v'nipsa, one who stole a coin and it was disqualified for use by the government. Truma v'nitmes, or he stole truma and it became tame and prohibited for consumption. Chametz v'avro lava pesach, or he stole chametz and pesach passed. Omer lohar shelcha l'fanocha, the thief may return the item and say, what is yours is before you and returned, and it's not chai for its loss in value. But Papa argues that if unrecognizable damage is classified as damage, as Chizki asserts, then since this man stole the goods, thereby assuming responsibility for them, and he now returned them in a state which is considered damage, Mamona Ma'alya Boy Shalume, he should pay fully for the stolen item, which he did not return as it was, yet the Mishnah says that he is not chai for its loss in value. The Gemara concludes, Tiyufta, this is indeed a refutation of Chizki's opinion. And point number three, a Brisa is quoted in which Reb Meir says that one is chai for unrecognizable damages, even when done unintentionally. And Reb Yehuda says, like our Mishnah, that he's only chai for intentional damages. The Gemara explains that although they both agree that hezek sheinu nikar lo shmei hezek, it's not considered damage, and deliberate damage is chai by rabbinic decree, Reb Meir holds, kamsu shogeg atumezid, they penalize unintentional acts because of intentional acts, meaning so people cannot intentionally damage and avoid liability by claiming it was unintentional. And Reb Yehuda holds they did not. The Gemara asks that this diametrically opposes their machlokas regarding one who cooks on Shabbos, where Reb Meir says, B'shogeg yochel, if he did so unintentionally, he may eat the food, even on Shabbos, but mezid lo yochel, if it was intentional, he may not eat it. Reb Yehuda says that for shogeg, he cannot eat it until after Shabbos as a penalty because of mezid, and for mezid, he may never eat it. We see that Reb Meir did not penalize shogeg because of mezid, and Reb Yehuda did. The Gemara differentiates between biblical transgressions, cooking on Shabbos, and rabbinic transgressions, unrecognizable damages. Reb Meir holds they only penalize shogeg by rabbinic transgressions because people tend to take them lightly. Reb Yehuda holds they only penalize shogeg by biblical transgressions because they're more severe. Manasseh is an exception according to each opinion. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Nun Gimel, and our standard Siman is a Nigerian prince. A Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food, someone was Matame, to determine if in fact it was Hezek Sheino Nicker, was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation, and insisted that even one who damages like this Beshogig should be penalized atu mesid, just like the Jews do when it comes to prohibiting food that was cooked on their Sabbath. So once again, it's a motion. The Nigerian prince, that must be Mordaf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince in the green robes, who had his attendants examine food someone was Matame, to determine if in fact it was Hezek Sheino Nicker, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchukas about Hezek Sheino Nicker, damage which isn't recognizable. Chizki holds that one is Chayim Midaraisa for, but the rabbis exempted an unintentional damager, Kadeshi Odio, so that he'll inform the owner that his food is prohibited. If he would be Chayim, he may hesitate to inform the owner, causing him to eat the prohibited food. Rav Yochanan disagrees and holds Hezek Sheino Nicker, Loshmei Hezek. Unrecognizable damage is not considered genuine damage. The rabbis penalize one who intentionally damaged this way, so that everyone should not go and be Matame's friend's tower of foods and say, Patrani, I'm exempt. So the Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food someone was Matame to determine if in fact it was Hezek Sheino Nicker was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation. Which reminds us where Papa challenged Chizkiah from a Mishnah. Gazamat Be'ev and Nipsal, one who stole a coin and it was disqualified for use by the government, the thief may return and say, what's yours is before you, and returned. And it's not chai for its loss in value. So we see conclusively from here that Hezek Sheino Nicker, Lav Shmei Hezek, is not considered damage. So the Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food someone was Matame to determine if in fact it was Hezek Sheino Nicker was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation, and insisted that even one who damages like this Beshogeg should be penalized atu mezid, just like the Jews do when it comes to prohibiting food that was cooked on their Sabbath. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains why Rebbe Meir holds we penalize shogeg atu mezid when it comes to hezek sheino nicker, but do not do so when it comes to hamavashel b'shabbos b'shogeg, one who cooks b'shogeg on Shabbos. And why Rebbe Yehuda holds we do not penalize shogeg atu mezid when it comes to hezek sheino nicker, but do penalize shogeg atu mezid when it comes to bishul b'shogeg on Shabbos. So once again, the Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food, someone was Matame, to determine if in fact it was Hezek Sheino Nicker, was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation, and insisted that even one who damages like this Beshogeg should be penalized atu mezid, just like the Jews do when it comes to prohibiting food that was cooked on their Sabbath. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach chazara. Daf Mem Tes. So the Siman Daf Mem Tes is meat, and we often use a butcher in the Siman. So here goes. The butcher, that must mean one Daf Mem Tes, meat, butcher. The butcher with the green apron, who was visibly upset when the ox he was going to shech scored an ox of hektish, requiring him to pay from his edis, which reminds us, Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon Manasi, who said, Shor shel hektish shenagu shor shel hedya pater. If a hektish is ox, gores a commoner's ox, hektish is pater from paying, b'shel hedyot, shenagu shor shel hektish, but if a commoner's ox gores hektish's ox, bein tam u bein muad, whether his ox was a tam or a muad, m'shalom nezek shalom, he pays full damages to hektish. He interprets the drasha of shor re'ehu as teaching that the distinction to pay half damages for a tam only applies to a friend's ox, but damages to Hektish's ox are always paid in full. So the butcher with the green apron, who was visibly upset when the ox he was going to shecht gored an ox of Hektish, requiring him to pay from his edis, a deraisa payment that dissuaded some local gazlanim and chamsanim from their pursuits, which reminds us, although the payment from edis is actually a deraisa, Rabbi Shimon he did darsh time of the krah. It is the opinion Rabbi Shimon usually darshens the reasoning of the pasuk, and he's saying the Torah required paying damages from edis for a tikkun olam. In a braisa, he explains the benefit. Because of robbers and extortioners. So a man will say, why should I steal or why should I extort? Tomorrow, Basin will come and seize my property and take away my best field. So the butcher with the green apron, who was visibly upset when the ox he was going to shecht, Gordon ox of Hektish, requiring him to pay from his edis, a deraisa payment that dissuaded some local gazlanim and chamsanim from their pursuits, was jealous when he heard some yosomim telling Amana she could only collect her ksuba from Ziburis, which reminds us. The Gemara explains that there's an additional chiddush in teaching that ksuba is collected from an orphan Ziburis. Sadaicha chamina mishimchina. I might think that because of favor, as Rashi explains, better collections rights as an incentive for a woman to marry, the rabbis were making a latter collect from Beinonis. The Mishnah teaches that this isn't so, and that even a ksuba is collected from Yisom Ziburis. There's a machlokes whether she collects from Beinonis or Ziburis when it comes to collecting her ksuba from her husband. Daf Nun. So the Simmer Daf Nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The disappointed Balchov, who was on a non-stop flight, that must be on Daf Nun. The disappointed Balchov, who was on a non-stop flight in a small green airplane to identify the Ziburi's land he was going to collect from adult Yesomim, which reminds us, the Gemara concludes that the restriction to only collect Ziburi's from Yesomim includes adult Yesomim. So the disappointed Balchov, who was on a non-stop flight in a small green airplane to identify the Ziburi's land he was going to collect from adult Yesomim, flew over some gifted Beinoni's properties he couldn't collect from another debtor who had some unsold Ziburi's field, which reminds Rav Chodvai Bar Ami asked, can a creditor collect from gifted properties where unsold properties are available? He explains, was the enactment which required collection from unsold properties made mishum pseida de lukuchos because of the loss of purchasers? But in the case of a gift where there is no purchaser's loss because the gift recipient paid nothing, there is no enactment protecting his land from collection. Or perhaps we say if the debtor had not received some benefit from the gift recipient, he would not have given him a gift. Therefore, matana is considered like a pseida de lukuchos, a purchaser's loss. So the disappointed Balchov, who was on a non-stop flight in a small green airplane to identify the Ziburi's land he was going to collect from adult Yesomim, flew over some gifted Beinoni's properties he couldn't collect from another debtor who had some unsold Ziburi's fields, and noticed a buyer of a stolen field down below collect compensation from the seller for the produce that was seized after his purchase, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Memches Amud Beis taught that although a buyer whose purchased land was later discovered to have been stolen by the seller may collect the purchase price from properties which the seller had subsequently sold, produce which grew in the field after the purchase can only be collected from the seller's own property. Two explanations are given here. Ula said in the name of Reish Lakish, Lefisha Ein Ketsuvim, because they're not written in the original purchase contract. Bechina said, Lefisha Ein Ketsuvim, because the amount of potential produce is not fixed. Purchasers cannot protect themselves from later collections if they have no way of knowing how much property to leave with the seller. Therefore, produce can only be collected from the seller himself. Daf Nun Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Nun Aleph is a beaver because beavers gnaw. So here goes. The man whose beaver team, that must be more on Daf Nun Aleph, gnaw. The man whose beaver team built a green dam on stolen property he purchased and was unable to collect from property the same seller sold to another prior to these improvements, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassen says, when is it true that compensation for the improvements are only collected from the seller's property? Only when the second purchase preceded the improvements of the first purchaser and the obligation to compensate for them was created thereafter. But if the improvements of the first purchaser and the obligation to compensate for them preceded the second purchase, government achasim shubadim, he does collect from the sold properties in the second purchaser's possession. So, the man whose beaver team built a green dam on stolen property he purchased and was unable to collect from property the same seller sold to another prior to these improvements had to swear when he denied finding two beaver pelt purses tied together and said he found only one, which reminds us, the Gemara explains the distinction between a case where one is accused of finding two purses tied together and he claims he found only one purse, and one accused of finding two oxen tied together and claiming he found only one. So the man whose beaver team built a green dam on his own property he purchased and was unable to collect from property the same seller sold to another prior to these improvements had to swear when he denied finding two beaver pelt purses tied together and said he found only one, but did not have to swear when he was motive of mixes and told his accuser, a mana of your father's was in my possession and I paid him half of it. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokes whether the rationale why one must swear in a case of motive amixas, that it's presumed that a person is not brazen enough to completely deny his debt to his creditor's face, applies in a case when one is motive amixas to the creditor's son. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that a person is also not brazen enough to deny the whole claim to the son and therefore must swear, whereas the Chachamim hold he would be brazen enough, and therefore partial admission is likened to him being meshiv aveda, returning a lost object. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simmer Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, which reminds us, Gemara clarifies that an apitropos can take truma for orphans, la'achil, to feed them, but not to store away. A brice elaborates on other powers of the apitropos, such as using the orphan's property to prepare them for mitzvahs, which have a cost limit, such as lulav sukkah and tzitzis. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, saw the instructor had drawn an equal sign to teach that property of orphans is like hektish when it comes to sales, which reminds the Gemara discussed in the moment of acquisition and purchases involving orphans. Produce which was drawn through Mashiach from orphan's possession to acquire before payment. If a later increase in value, the orphans can retract based on the statement of Rabbi Chanilai Bar Idi in the name of Shmuel, Nichse Yesomim Harihen Kehektish. Property of orphans is like hektish and is only acquired with money and not mashicha, drawing clothes. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, saw the instructor had drawn an equal sign to teach that property of orphans is like hektish when it comes to sales, and turned green watching a simulation of a thief stealing someone's wine and pouring it to an idol, where he had to pay and get stoned. Which reminds us, Rav says the Mishnah's case of menasech means menasech mamish. One literally pours another person's wine as an idolatrous libation. Shmuel says ma'ariv. It means one who mixes nesach wine into kosher wine, thereby prohibiting it. He disagrees with Rav because menasech kamle b'rabi minei. One who makes idolatrous libations is chai for a more severe punishment, namely skila, stoning, than paying money. And the more severe punishment exempts him from paying compensation, the lesser penalty. Rav holds from the moment of lifting the wine, he acquires it as stolen goods, obligating him to pay for it, but does not become chai for his life until the time of the libation. Because the monetary obligation preceded the libation, it is not exempted by the greater penalty. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf di machlokes is when we penalize shogeg atumezid regarding hezek shenu nikker and bishop of Shabbos b'shogeg? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf di machok is about the case of one being menasech, someone else's wine, and if it's a case of kimle b'drabi minei, that's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have machok is if b'demazik shaminin or b'denizak shaminin? That's on daf Memchas. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn about the Yisrael Mumer who sold himself to cannibals and how Reish Lakish killed them out? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf of Machok is whether the rationale behind having to swear in a case of Moda B'mixas applies when being Moda to the Baal Chov's son? That's on daf Nanav. Good. Number 6. Which daf of Machok is whether Hezek Shenu Nikr is a Daraisa? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which of the Apitropos can tithe on behalf of Yesomim in order to feed them, but not to store the produce away? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 8. Which of the one, if one stole coins and returned them after the government stopped circulating them, he's not chai for their loss in value. That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which of the one, the Gemara concludes that the restriction to only collect the ziboris from orphans includes adult orphans. That's on daf Nun. Good. Number 10. Which of the one, the Nixa Yisomin Harihen Kehektish, property of orphans is like Hektish. That's on daf Nun Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is everybody. Rabbi Avraham Goldhorn Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.